And welcome to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Tom Coughlin and company preparing for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's listen in on the coach.
Forward to a good day on the practice field. The attention was very good this morning, the good energy. Hope to have the same thing when we get to the practice field here in a couple of minutes.
Tom, you had a Thursday game followed by a Monday. It's almost like having a bye week. It's as long as you can go in that regard. Was that an opportunity to galvanize, to pull
together? It's not a bye week. It was an opportunity for us to be able to have some downtime, the players to recover, if you will, and hopefully that's going to be a plus for us. We worked Monday, and now we're here. This officially is a Wednesday for us. So, hopefully, as I said, we've got a few more guys out there, and what we're looking for is the progress thing, from one day to the next with no setbacks.
Tom, you talk about the addition of Hillis and his
Hillis knows the offense. He knows the terminology. That helps a lot. He's a bigger back. He caught the ball very well in the workout. He's been around. He's a veteran football player. We know he can handle the first and second down stuff, and hopefully he'll not be too hard-pressed to pick up the third down stuff as well.
What's Brandon Jacobs' status? Is he practicing?
He's practicing, yeah.
Tom, could you share your reaction when you were asked if you'd considered benching Eli?
I believe I said, if I heard you correctly, no.
What did you think of that question?
Many of the questions that I get. You would not want to know what I think. But, no, I just quickly dismissed that question, and let's get on to the next one. He's the guy. We're going to win again with Eli.
How do you prepare for Freeman? Do you look at tape and camp?
Oh, sure. And we played him last year. So we have that, and we have all the cut-ups from that. We have all their games in the beginning of the season this year. So we'll know the player.
Tom, you were talking last week. You obviously frequently speak to Eli. Can you just talk about is there ever an issue with a guy like that, despite what he's accomplished, where there's did he just get into a confidence lull or anything like that? Is there anything you have to talk about with that, just in terms?
No, I don't talk about that. We talk about some of the issues, some of the problems that we've had, and how we can handle that going forward. And usually it's a pat on the back, and let's see if we can change this around.
Coach, you mentioned the running backs need to pick up the pass blocking. How far along would you say John Connor is in that regard? Can he be a help in that?
He could. Yes, he could. Yeah, we've talked about that as well. He does give us a security blanket, if you will, if that's needed as well. And he'll be prepared to do that also.
You mentioned last week that you were going to look at the pass rush. What did you see when you reevaluated?
Well, I see, obviously, we don't have many numbers. We're not getting to the quarterback. There are some pressures that don't go without a stat next to them. People do different things. And obviously, I think if you want to take the most recent game, ball came out quickly, which it does. If you see someone coming and some of the protections are geared to take care of that for the quarterback. And I think what has to happen for us is, we've got to do a better job in these one-on-one situations and also be alert. There's always a chipper around, particularly on the one side. But winning that one-on-one operation and beating some of the max protections that we're facing, some of our pressure packages, we're not getting home with the kind of speed and timing that we need. So it's a combination of things.
Well, Tom, do you feel that opponents have maybe figured this pass rush out? I mean, you guys have been, doing this.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's obvious there's a lot of tape out there to look at, but as far as figuring it out, it's basically comes down to, I've got to beat this guy or I've got to beat this guy in a half, or when you bring five, you do have a chance to get singled up, and we have to win when that takes place.
You
kind of mentioned it, but when you do bring extra guys, either, you know, linebackers or safeties, would you like a higher percentage, I guess, of them getting some pressure on the quarterback? It seems like the blitz is happening.
I would like, if you're going to bring them, let's get home. You know, let's be a factor. That's been missing as well.
You talked about the confidence of Eli. How's the confidence of those defensive linemen who are used to winning those one-on-one battles?
I think they're pretty resilient. I don't see that as a major issue, although they do understand where criticism is being directed as well.
Is there a way, Tom, to challenge a player just to play better? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, sure.
Not telling them change your scheme, or I'm not going to have you do something different, but you just have to do
you
that.
Constantly do it. You're constantly doing that. You're constantly picking and probing and trying to hit some way in which that individual, whether you take them aside and look at, you know, some of the isolated situations that have happened and how they're going about their business. Yeah, you just keep working at it. You keep trying, and you, your defensive line coach and your secondary or your coordinator, they continue to emphasize it and work towards it and put people in the right positions, perhaps moving them around a little bit, although that's not always the answer. Sometimes it's familiarity that's the best course.
Is that an odd position for you to feel yourself in this year, that there are as many individuals you could point to and say, you know what I mean, that you just need to play better? Is there a lot of that going on?
No, I mean, sure there's a lot. I mean, there certainly is. But so, again, team. Everybody's got to play better.
Your defense has played pretty well against Adrian Peterson, you know, in the fairly limited times you've played. Is there any one, two, or two?
Got to get a lot of folks to the ball.
Tom, they've been struggling in Minnesota. Is there something you see why that is, or do you feel that they're better than their record here?
Well, they're a good physical football team. They've been in every game. They've led in the second half in four of their five games. You know, their style is what it is. They want to run the football, and they want to take advantage of the running game to get you down in the box and then be able to throw the ball. Defensively, they come hard. That's what they've always done. That's what they'll continue to do.
Do you see good stuff, Tom, in these last few games, but just not for the full 60 minutes, and is that part of the challenge?
Well, I've been saying that forever. I mean, four quarters of championship-quality football is what our objective has been for a long time. I've seen it get better, believe it or not, but it hasn't gotten home yet, obviously.
With Andre Brown and Marcus Kuhn, obviously things will start happening these next couple of weeks.
Bring them along slow, yes.
Do you have any timetable in your mind set when you want one or both back on the field?
Well, there's a legitimate window there that we would have to follow anyway, but if it happens faster, then fine. But we're gonna move it slow so that we can have a chance to get them in the best possible position when we do turn them loose.
How much do you think Hillis can contribute this week?
I think he can contribute right away. I do. I mean, he's a veteran player, and we expect that of him. Now, getting him ready and then the opportunity to use him, that's two different things, but I think we can get him ready.
Well, you anticipate Brandon being?
I do.
Tom, Cox, do you that change of pace? Do you see him developing, getting closer to being that change of pace running back with this offense?
Let's hope that's what he was drafted for. He's certainly going to get the practice time that he needs, and he has gotten some more practice time, so it's getting closer.
Do you have a clock in your head on David Wilson and when you might have to make a decision on him?
No, we just got to allow the time that's necessary for the complete and total medical analysis, evaluation, and I don't know when that would be. There's been no magic number told me. You know, they're going to look at it continuously.
Tom, Brandon seemed to kind of turn the clock back a little bit in the last game. Can you talk about what you saw out of him? He seemed to have pretty fresh legs.
He did, and he ran hard, and he was spirited. He was physical. He gave our team a nice lift, defense, offense, special teams. Everybody got involved in that. That's a good thing. It's a huge plus. I hope we can keep doing it.
What does Josh Freeman do for that offense that they haven't had before?
Well, they're looking, I think, for a consistent passer. Castle threw the ball very well against Pittsburgh and not so well last week, which happens in this game. But I think that they brought him there for this reason. Freeman's been brought, to Minnesota for that reason. And I think they're just ready to give him the chance.
Tom,
Tommy, is there anything to be said for maybe sitting Eli down for a quarter or a half, you know, once he goes?
Not in my opinion, no.
No benefit to
that? I don't see it, no.
Anything else?
Thank you.
And so Tom Coughlin finishes his media session as he prepares his team to get out to the practice field. Again, the Giants and Minnesota Vikings to play on Monday Night Football at MetLife Stadium. When we come back after this break, we'll take a look at exactly what the Giants have in store for the Purple People Eaters. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino, along with Roman Oben. Glad you could join us once again here on MSG. And Roman, the Giants kind of had a mini bye weekend. Coach didn't want to say it, but they kind of did to get away from what has been an 0-6 start.
Yeah, and you have to just evaluate where you are. And this team is 0-6 for a reason, not just because of one particular player or one thing. And it just gives everyone a chance to just refocus and regroup and decide what this last 10 games of the season is going to be like.
All right, so Roman, it's time for our GEICO 15-second update. And did you know that in 15 seconds you could save 15% or more on your car insurance? Visit geico.com. And we turn to the Giants addition this week. Peyton Hillis, a 6-year veteran of the NFL, is now part of this Giants running back core. He is a guy who spent some time in Tampa Bay's camp this summer, and I think that's why Tom Coughlin says, hey, he knows our system, because Mike Sullivan, who used to be here, is right. Their offensive coordinator.
Right. Mike Sullivan was here, as you know, for a long time, receivers coach, quarterbacks coach, and got the job. But, you know, Peyton Hillis, and obviously he had that one great season in 2010, but what he brings to the table is tough, physical running. I mean, this Giants backfield just got bigger and stronger again. No more thunder and lightning or two different styles. It's Brandon Jacobs, it's Peyton Hillis, and when Andre Brown comes back, I mean, another 230 pounds.
And John Connor, too.
Yeah, Connor, so you're going to have a really big physical backfield now.
Yeah, that is a lot of beef. Let's get a look at the injury list. And the one guy I do want to refer to there, Roman, is someone we just talked about. Brandon Jacobs tweaked a hammy at the end of the game against Chicago the other day. He's had some extra time. How will he manage that, and do you think he can give them four quarters?
Well, I think having the 11 days off, so to speak, and being able to manage that through treatments and hot, cold, stem, all those things are really going to help him. But again, had he had this injury against the Eagles and then had to play 4 days later, probably wouldn't be as healthy. But again, the Thursday night game versus Monday, 11 days, does help. Jacobs
comes off his best game in 3 years. 22 carries, 106 yards, two touchdowns. And I have to tell you, what impressed me was the yards after contact. He was pushing guys. He was carrying the pile. Roman, what did you see?
Well, one thing I saw that we hadn't seen just up front, you're seeing guys get a hat on a hat. You're seeing Brandon Jacobs get to the line of scrimmage before he could turn his shoulder square and run. Every time you saw 8 yards, 8 yards, a couple of 16-yard runs, his longest run was like 16 yards. So that showed that the offensive line was finally coming together. So that was very encouraging to see that ground and pound attack, so to speak.
Yeah, Jacobs was certainly lowering his shoulder and trying to do everything he could to energize this team. And while that was a good thing, another bad thing for the Giants is that their passing game wasn't working all that well again. Three Eli Manning interceptions. Blame him as much as you want for as many of them as you want, but the bottom line is, Roman, it's too much. That's 15 now this season. He had 15 all of last year.
Yeah, and you can put an asterisk probably behind maybe six of those interceptions. Definitely the pick six was a miscommunication between Eli Manning and Reuben Randall. And, again, something has to be simplified so that these mistakes are minimized. A tip ball is one thing. A defender wrestling the football from a receiver or a tight end, that's another thing. The Brandon Mosley catch, for example, at the end, that last interception. But something has to be fixed so that the communication between the quarterback and the guys on the perimeter are minimized so that you can have the best possible scenarios of what goes on, if it's man, if it's press. Are you going to run the hook? Something has to be solved. Internally, in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, so that doesn't happen again.
Well, let me ask you this. In the past, when guys have had trouble throwing picks, and these are guys who don't have Eli's resume, offensive coordinators will say, okay, we're going to throw a lot of high-percentage passes, going to give the guy some confidence, we're going to make sure that we have a good chance to complete it. Is that something you'd even tinker with?
Well, I think you see that already. I think you've seen quick slants, you've seen some screens, you've seen some of those things, so you don't really want to limit the capabilities of what Eli Manning can do because he does throw a good ball downfield. I think when he does that, you also have the catches. You can't have any drops when you go downfield. So that's also part of it. The drops also enable that.
All right. The bad news for the Giants is that the other team's quarterbacks are having a lot of time to throw the ball. 5 sacks in 6 games for this defense, Roman. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, especially when you see this pass rush, not getting there with 4 guys. You see, teams blitzing, ascending a 5th or 6th guy, which means a lot of one-on-one matchups and guys just aren't getting to the quarterback, whether it's via blitzing or via, turning the corner. So, everyone who's responsible for getting to the quarterback or the ball carrier really has to play better than they have been the first 6 games of the season.
Folks, it's time for our Twitter question, and we go to AWesleyB32. He's got a question about DeMontre Moore. Speaking about that pass rush, says, is it time for Moore to finally get significant playing time this week? Well, look, between shoulder injuries and hamstring problems, it's been a problem for him just to get on the field.
Yeah, I mean, DeMontre Moore, has worked his way to get back. Everyone knows he's a great athlete. I mean, he blocked the punt in preseason against the Steelers. I mean, he's been the gunner. You have a 250-pound gunner on special teams, so he will work himself into the lineup. So I think he does deserve a chance.
And then finally, when talking about that defense, John B. said, after only a few days of practice, Roman, boy, was he good against Chicago with 11 solo tackles.
And let's be honest, Paul. I mean, it was very encouraging to see Beeson chasing sideline to sideline, something that just we hadn't seen this year from any of the linebackers. And if that's just a taste of what he can be, and I said this a few weeks ago, if he can be 80% or 75% of who he was at Carolina, I mean, that's better than we've had in the Giants locker room at the linebacker position.
Yeah, and need I remind you, he's coming off of an Achilles problem and microfracture surgery over the last 2 years. That was something to see. When we come back, we will delve into what the Minnesota Vikings bring to the table. So stick around here on MSG. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the Giants take on the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, and the Vikings are bringing a new quarterback to the dance for the third time in 4 weeks. Josh Freeman, the former Buccaneer who was signed less than 2 weeks ago, has replaced both Ponder and Cassell as calling the signals for Minnesota. And I tell you, Roman, the one thing we know about him, he can throw it.
Yeah, well, obviously the Giants played against Josh Freeman, you know, last year in the 2012 season against Tampa. You know he's got that deep ball, but I just question whether or not Josh Freeman at this point has the relationship. We just talked about this with Eli Manning. Has that quarterback-receiver relationship this early? So I think you're going to see a real simplistic approach, some of those high-percentage passes, something to give for Josh Freeman some confidence. But you better believe that he will go deep against this defense a few times.
And he can move around in the pocket just a bit. Now, the good news for him, what is the quarterback's best friend? A running game. Some guy named Adrian Peterson, fourth in the NFL in rushing, but kind of acknowledged as the best running back in the NFL, is over there with Minnesota, nearly 500 yards rushing this year. This is a guy who is just as explosive as could ever be.
Yeah, and unless you've lived in the closet the last 7 years, I mean, everyone knows Adrian Peterson's been the best running back in the league, you know, since 07 when he came out. But what he brings to the table is really a complete running back. He's good between the tackles. He's got the burst to go to distance. He had, I think, a 78-yarder a few weeks ago.
The longest run in the NFL this year.
This year. So Adrian Peterson has everything. He will make some runs, but those runs don't always equal wins for the Vikings, and those are some of the issues they're having. So he will make some big runs, but if you can just contain the totality of what they're trying to do offensively, the Giants can still be successful against his Vikings offense.
Yeah, now watch out. When he runs the ball, he's running for 7 yards a pop when running behind the center or the right guard or the A-gap. That's his favorite place to go, so Linval Joseph should be very busy. Now, in the passing game, when Freeman's looking to go downfield, a guy who's really emerged lately is tight end Kyle Rudolph. Had a career-high 9 catches last weekend against Carolina.
Yeah, and Kyle Rudolph is really one of the younger stars in the NFL. You know, he had this pedigree, and he's, you know, Notre Dame guy, first-round pick, you know, came out as a Pro Bowler, I think as a rookie year, 6'6", 260, all that stuff. But he's physical. He can run routes. He had a huge game, you know, against Carolina last week at 9 catches. And he's a good target in the red zone. I mean, he has everything that you could want out of an NFL tight end. And so he's going to be a little bit of a load for the Giants secondary this week.
Now, you said he's got a strong arm. So when he goes deep, he's going to be looking at Simpson or, of course, the former Packer Greg Jennings. These guys are averaging 16, 14 yards per catch. I think that the timing's going to be off, Roman. I don't think he can get timing down with those guys so quickly. And I think when he throws passes awry downfield, that's when the Giants have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That quarterback-receiver relationship isn't quite there yet. Vikings have had some struggles with the quarterbacks, and that's why Josh Freeman is there to start. I mean, he just got there a week ago, so we'll see what he can do.
All right, now, defensively, the Vikings are near the bottom in the league in terms of allowing over 400 yards a game. They're also giving up 49% on third down, Roman. That is horrible.
Well, that's encouraging for the Giants offensively, who are at the bottom of the league on third down. I mean, they've improved the last few weeks. But, again, this team, Minnesota, I mean, they're giving up 30 points, over 30 points a game, 31.6. I mean, at home, they gave up 35 last week. And the Giants traditionally, you know, I don't play the percentage as much, but they traditionally play well at home on Monday night. So I think this is a game that the Giants should win. You should see some different things coming together. But that secondary is something that can be exploited. You just can't have any drops, Paul, when Eli Manning does go deep against his secondary.
And then when the Vikings do get a big defensive play, in all likelihood it's going to come from right defensive end Jared Allen. He's got 3.5 sacks this year. He's been a little bit down, and teams also run for 5 yards a pop against him. You can run the ball with this guy.
Well, you can run left because he's not good at the point of attack, but he's a good pass rusher. You also got Williams on the inside. I mean, they've been as a formidable of a interior outside line combination as there is in the NFL. Jared Allen, Williams, come around the corner. It's going to be a huge day for Will Beatty protecting him. Thank goodness he's at home. He doesn't have that crowd noise in Minnesota. Thank goodness Will Beatty's at home, and he should do well against Jared Allen if he can do that.
Roman, always great to see you.
My pleasure, anytime.
It's the Giants and Vikings on Monday Night Football. Get ready for some big-time gridiron action. We'll see you next time right here on Giants Press Conference Live.